Show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Riff. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being a part of our broadcast today. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're all listening and all out there tuning in and trying to get into this. I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, so just give me a second while I lower one of these monitors down. But amen. God bless. All right, that's a lot better. My friends, it is Wednesday, August 12th. And we're talking about leadership today. We're going to talk about leadership. Let me get some light on my notes here. And we're going to start talking about this topics and stuff. Amen. How's your day been? How's your week been? We are on the day. That's the middle of the week. A couple of more days. And it's going to be the weekend for a lot of us here. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to see some good things coming. Good things happening. Good things working out. Amen. Amen, my friends. Well, I have a guest that's supposed to be calling us. If not, I'm going to have to tag my pastor again and just let him know that we're here waiting for him to give us a holler, because he's an on-call type of man of God, and he's available anytime we need him for this ministry, and he's an awesome, awesome man. Well, let me give you our address. Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Now, if you want to write us, you can. You want to help support, you can do that as well, because we're really doing a lot of different things. We are on Ustream now, and that's why it took me a few minutes to get the link up. That's because I was listening to the broadcast trying to get the signal right. It's a new process, and unfortunately, we're not doing video right now, so when I try and stream it through this computer that I'm currently on and this sound system that we're using at the station, it's not coming through correctly on the Ustream site. It comes through on our regular player fine. So with that and a lot of bunch of codes and stuff you got to throw in, it's kind of crazy. It gets kind of to the point where you're like, okay, hopefully this works. Hopefully you're hearing, and I can monitor you through my other computers to make sure that it's all coming through, because that's what you want to hear. I mean, it's good. Sounds great in the studio. Always sounds great in the studio. But what's going on the outside source? That's what we need to learn. What's happening over there? So, anyway, God is good. Our address, our ministry address is RevMinistries.com, RevMediaNetwork.com. DavidYanezMinistries.com, we have that site up. We have KeepInMyMarriage.com, and we talked about that on our Relationships Day, that we were trying to get that together, and we finally got that out, and it's up. And I've had a lot of hits already on there, so I'm going to add some more stuff. I don't have as much stuff as I want to have on there. I really wish that I could have got a few more things done before I published it, but I went ahead and published it and put it out there. So anyway, that's up. That's running. Getting some people, get some interest and stuff. But the ministry site for the biggest, I look at all the stats daily trying to see who's coming to our sites and stuff, because it lets me know that we're putting content out there that people like. And it's just like we don't have the Nielsen ratings to help us. We don't have anyone calling and asking questions to anyone. And so the thing is, I know that I have to do my due diligence, as they say in our real estate business. Due diligence and try and figure out how I can get the show moving in better and bigger places and stuff like that. But the main thing I want to do before I go into all these places, and I was really, really ambitious. I was trying to get into us as many streams as we can. And I think I'm going to slow down on that just a little. I want to make sure we're getting you strong content. I know Dana Smith in Wyoming, and I know Charles Mellett in North Carolina, they're constantly giving us good shows, good quality. So that's filling up our airtime, and that's good. That is awesome. I mean, we rebroadcast some of their shows throughout the day, but they have their set times that they do their shows at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and 2 o'clock on Sundays and 8 o'clock on Saturdays. Those guys are on the air. They're different ministries, but they just have the same time slot, but on different days. Now, our ministry is broadcasting Monday through Friday, that 1 hour show, and we get that material out and we make sure that you know what we're doing and how we're doing, and we try and have people call in and stuff. So we're having a lot of shows being recorded, a lot of shows being broadcasted live, and we're able to fill up the airtime easily. So I know that the content is strong because we're getting a lot more viewers. Right where we're at right now, this is almost the middle of the month, and we've already have about half, more than half actually, more than half of what we had last month at this time. So we're already going to get to that point where we're going to start surpassing the middle of month last month. And we're almost there. We're not there yet. We're almost there. So let's see, have some good strong days today. Now, Wednesday is normally our strong day on listening. For some reason, we get a lot of listeners on Wednesday, and it's a good thing. Maybe people are not going to church and just taking a service at home, and that's fine. But you do got to have a church. You got to have some place where you're going to go, some place where you're going to worship, some place where you're going to give your heart and everything in prayer and be able to support, because that's how you're going to be blessed. Now, but the numbers are looking good, and I think that a lot of people are hitting different parts of our sites, trying to see what we have. And some of the stuff that we have on some of the sites are the same, and then there's some that are different. So it just, you have to just look at it. But I can see that people are looking through our content. You're able to download my sermons now. Yes, I preach Crazy Old David. If you listen to the station, you've heard a few of my sermons. I think I've played a couple of my sermons regularly on it, and I play my pastor's sermons on it, because he doesn't really have a show where he actually sits and talks like I do, as far as like a show that you can actually just go throughout the day and try and have, regular scheduled time show. He's usually a guest on our show when we get a topic, and I just let him go. He loves to talk about different things, faith, ties, and inhabiting eternity, stuff like that. And I love having him on the show and stuff. We have so many shows we've done together in the last 5 years. It's amazing. But the other thing is that we put together these shows and stuff, and my sermons are on there. So I'm using a new program to put the sermons on our Rev Ministries website. So revministries.com has my archives, or David Yannis Ministries has the archives, and you can just put your mouse over, just scroll over it with your mouse, and you'll be able to see the description of the sermons, and then you click on it, and you can listen right there on the web page. In that same window that you click on, you can actually, the same little box, you can actually listen to the whole sermon, or you can download it, or you can do what you need to do. It's really up to you on that. So, you know, we never made no theme music for leadership. That's one thing we forgot to do. I don't have any theme music, I think, for leadership. I think we've used everything. We have missions, we have faith, and I have this other song I think I could put together here real quick. See how that sounds. And let's see, we've got some clips over here. Leadership. Yeah, you want to put like an 80s thing to it? I think that wouldn't be too bad. Okay, I won't tell you the title of this one because it sounds weird, but here it goes. Talking about leadership. Talking about God using you. Amen. Well, that was it. I hope you liked that little bit of a tune for y'all. But I just wanted to make sure that y'all all can get an idea. We have different theme songs. We have one for relationship that I do a little voiceover for. And then we have leadership. And then we have faith. And the theme song I have for... We have four theme songs. So yeah, I think we have enough. But either way, God is good. God is awesome. I'm on Chatango right now. I logged in. I had enough time to log in before the show started. And that's a good thing. I don't have anyone I'm chatting with right now, so it's no big deal. But God is good. He's doing a lot of things in people's lives, a lot of things in our mind, in our faith. And right now, let me introduce one more thing we're going to start doing to the ministry's website, to the Rev Media Network site, is that we're introducing a church's service stream page. So church's stream service, however you say it. It's where there'll be pastors on this page from all over the world, and they will all be streaming their most recent, now get this, their most recent Sunday service. Now I built a mock type one with my name and our church and put because I'm associate pastor there. I put one of my sermons, but it's not finished all the way. So you can look at it. It's right. It's on there. If you're looking at, if you're on our website, you can go check it out. It's cool. And what I want to do is I want to be able to add those players. So every time you click on it, you can click on the pastor's name and the church, or click on the player and it has the pastor's name. And only thing I got to do is, only thing I have to do is put a bio there and have enough room for a bio. So I still got some work to do. I was messing with that before the show started, and I was actually getting too engulfed in it. I totally forgot that it was too close to call. I forgot about the Ustream, so I was ready to sit down and start doing the show, and I'm like, oh no, I forgot to turn on the other signal. So I ran around and got that and turned on and everything. But leadership, what is it? What is leadership? Knowing the effectiveness of your leaders is important. So I'm talking to those people out there. There's three things that comes with leadership. And I'm gonna tell you these three things, and I hope you understand them, and hopefully you can get something out of theirs. There's position, there's power, and there's privilege. Position, power, and privilege. Now God has a lot of things that He has you, and you're given a lot of responsibility. I'm given a lot of responsibility. You're given a lot of responsibility. So today I'm talking about the qualities of a leader that we need to see. I have some questions written down for our caller, whoever I call. We should just surprise them and give them these questions. That'll be cool, right? If not, I'm going to have Pastor Robert Hardy on the show. And Calvary Temple Church in Kingwood. He's supposed to come on the show this next week. I emailed him yesterday, so he should let me know what's a good day for him. And I may save these questions for him because these are good questions. He's a great leadership. He's great at motivational speeches and motivational ministry as well. And he does great things in all types of ministry. He's a pastor, and he's a great man of God. I've known him since high school. He's a great guy. I actually know a lot of people that are ministers that are going to be coming on here that where I grew up in high school with and stuff. So it's going to be kind of fun. I have Chris Surratt, and he's in, Greenville, South Carolina, or in South Carolina. I think it's Greenville. I don't know. I'd have to check with him again. But he's out there, and he's doing a great work out there. He's doing some great work with Seacoast Church, and he's one of the campus pastors, and he's going to be on our show as well. And these are guys that I am going after their knowledge on subjects, because there's a lot of things that we have a lot of different potential and aspects on. I think mine's like these guys, leadership and marriage and family. My pastor, finances, and he's really good at that. And then myself, relationships, the mental mind, I'm good at that. I like that. I can analyze things, if you want to call it that. And it's cool. But these other guys, I want to use their gifts, their blessings. We can all preach. We can all heal. We can all talk to people and counsel them. And we can all bring them to the Lord, or bring them, give them the invitation and stuff. And Jesus, of course, Holy Spirit will do the rest. But each of us has things that we knack and that we can do, not better, but it's just a gifting to do that. And I know that we're going to have Pastor David Hunter. He's in Louisiana. I sent him an email waiting for him to reply. We're going to have him as well. So we're going to have people all over the country that's going to be able to talk to you, all over the country that are in different stages. Some are in huge stages. Some are at the stage of just starting a church. Others are with the church 5-6 years, and they're at a point where their fellowship has grown, has a health or strength of 5-6 years. Maturity, is important in a group of ministers and groups of fellowships. And I think that's our call of the day. Let's answer this. This is the Rev. You're on the air.
Hey, Giannis. How you doing? This is Mike Salazar.
Hey, man. I was checking to see if you got back with me on that. We got some questions for you. We're just talking about leadership, and I've been bragging about you, of course. And can you hear us fine today? Is everything good on the sound on your side?
It sounds wonderful. It sounds better than it's ever sounded before.
Okay, good. Good.
Well, I'm excited to be live on air with you today.
Amen. We have right now Pastor Mike Salazar, Freedom International Church, and I was just talking to the viewers, just letting them know that every pastor, we all are the same as far as we can pray for you, we can encourage you in the Word of God, but some of us have different knacks and different talents and different gifts that we have a little bit strength on than the other, and I'm leaning on men of God that I know, like yourself, to bring that kind of quality to the show. And I have friends all over the nation that are going to be on the air with us and stuff. But there's just the maturity level is different in a certain subject. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you can be a part of the show again, my brother.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm telling you, I've been really anticipating some great things. And I tell you, as you've been talking about maturity, and we've been talking about submission, and we've been talking about just a number of different elements of just even finishing strong the race as we continue to serve the Lord, and it's just an amazing thing, you know, all these elements that we're doing. So I'm excited to be on today's program.
Amen. Well, Pastor, I just mentioned right before you called that the three things that are given to a person when they become a leader is position and power and privilege. And
yes.
And what's your take on that? I mean, when they're given that, they're given a lot of responsibility.
Yes, you know, there are a number of things that today, when I look at those that are involved in the ministry, it's more than just a title, more than anything. I think that the ministry has quite a different elements to it that should be taken seriously. We should understand that, you know, one of the great qualities, I think, you know, all of those things you've talked about, position, power, privilege, you know, I think are all excellent qualities. But I also believe that, you know, I think that as a leader, as you continue to begin to extend and begin to expand your growth level, you know, I think that I always say that if you're a leader, you know, you'll be a leader in any element of business organization you're involved in. I think these are all key critical things that we should all begin to learn to do, is be able to have that discipline of expanding our education, being able to, you know, initiate that and be able to self-motivate ourselves to be able to read, to be able to be mentored, to be able to sit under, you know, some form of leadership that will help empower us to another level. You know, one thing that I know is that whatever it took, if you're listening to the broadcast today, whatever it took to get you to the level that you are today, it's going to take something totally different to get you to that new place that you're seeking for. And I think that as we continue to plant our feet down, and, you know, there are many different ways that we can expand our learning. We've talked just about a few of them, you know, mentoring. You can go online. You can sit under different type of ministries that have gone ahead of you. You know, there are so many different elements to expanding your learning. So I think those are just one of the things, I think, that beyond power and position, I think that a second thing that I think it kind of goes right along with the privilege is just being able to, you know, I think that as a leader, some of the things that I've experienced, what makes great leaders is the vision doesn't stop with himself. I think that he's empowered others around him. A one-man show, you know, he continues to really push his vision into the hearts of those that are around him. I mean, that's how we see how Joshua carried into the promised land. You know, Moses, he saw Moses' lifestyle. We see that even with Paul and Timothy. Timothy had carried Paul's heart. I think these are key critical things that as we really begin to define what success is that we have a successor around us. So I think this is, you know, we see that in just so many different other elements, Jesus Christ, the 12 disciples. We see this in Timothy. We see that with Elisha. I mean, we can go on and on talking about these key elements of what makes a great leader. So we've covered privilege, power, position. You know, we've spoken about learning to also, like I said, cast the vision into another level, being able to pass the torch per se. You know, we don't want to be like one of the Old Testament prophets that, you know, when he died, in his bones, the anointing was left.
No kidding.
And when they threw a body on there, that body came back to life because he didn't pass that mantle per se on. I think these are, you know, just some key, simple, practical things that we can all undergird and begin to take off in our position of leadership, no matter who we are or what we're doing today. So,
amen. Well, Pastor, I was looking at some of the stuff, and I was trying to figure out that when you talk about leaders, now, how important is knowing their effectiveness and what they bring?
I'm sorry, say that again, David.
How important is it to know effectiveness, know the leader's effectiveness, and know what they bring to the table?
Well, I think it's key. I mean, I'll give you a key scripture. This is something I've been teaching with our leadership team. You know, and we see that as he looked at the tree, he says, I'll come back in another season. If it's not bearing fruit, he said that we'll end up just chopping you down. So I think that, you know, effectiveness is very key. Stephen Covey once said this here, coming into the year 2009, he said, I don't want to be found just being busy, busy, busy. I want to be found being effective. And I think today, some of us today as leaders need to go and take a hard look in the mirror today and ask ourselves some real questions such as, who am I and why am I here and what is my purpose? Because I think sometimes that we forget, you know, who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, and really what is our life's mission. So I think these are all simple, practical things we can begin to apply to ourselves. And effectiveness is very, very key. You know, Dr. Evan Lewis Cole used to say, if it's not producing fruit, lop it off, cut it off, get rid of it. We see that with Jesus. He came back later on in the next season. He said he looked at the tree. It wasn't bearing no fruit, so he cursed it and it died. And I think that today, you know, the scripture teaches in Psalm, in the book of Psalms, how it says that we're to be like a tree planted by streams of living water, that whatever we do, he said, should prosper and our leaf will never grow wither. And I know that as we read through that psalm, I believe there's a lot we can learn from it of becoming effective, becoming fruitful. John 15 is another key scripture in being effective and being fruitful. I always say we're either walking in fruitfulness or we're walking in barrenness. So, you know, my prayer today that, you know, all leaders, no matter who they are, that every year and maybe even sometimes a couple of times a year, that we look at our ministries, we look at our calling and say, really, you know, how effective am I today? Is my ministry effective? What am I doing? Is it effective? Is it producing fruit? You know, is it growing? Is it multiplying? And I think that when we take a good, hard look at what's happening, you know, hopefully we'll be provoked to do whatever it takes to bring the changes that are needed, necessary. You know, some of those changes, you know, I believe can even be personally within your family, you know, even more than the ministry. I think we spoke about that on our first show about 4 weeks ago, that, you know, our first ministry is unto our family before the ministry itself. And I think that if all leaders will take a good hard look, you know, I think we all realize that we don't spend enough time with our wives, we don't spend enough time with our children. And really, that's our key ministry today before we ever minister to the masses or to the multitude. So I'm excited about that, of just being able to sit down and take a good look, you know, at, you know, our fruitfulness. There's another scripture that comes to my mind, and it speaks again about being effective. I don't want to be just busy, busy, busy. You know, sometimes we mistake busyness for effectiveness. We mistake busyness for the anointing. And I think that's when we miss out and realize that, hey, we're called to some things, not to everything. And as Dr. John Maxwell says this regularly, he says, hey, stay within your strength zone. You know, stay within that zone that you know that is your this is what you specialize in. Don't go outside of it. Don't dare to tread upon those waters. You know, just stay within that area that you are the most effective in. This is the area that we specialize in. You know, I know my area is not kids ministry. You know, my area is leadership development. That's what I do. That's what I've done the last 20 years. And I'm just really excited to know that Malachi 3 speaks of another area of being effective and being fruitful. It talks about Israel, that as they were to return back to, the Lord with tithes and offerings. And he says there, a very key portion of that scripture, we love to focus in, oh, the windows of heaven are going to open up. We'll, you know, there's so much blessing will be poured out. We won't have room to contain it. There's so many other different elements. We love to preach that. But the Bible also says that when you tithe, he says there, he says, none of your fruit will be cast off of your vine. He said, and the nations will rise up and call you blessed. And I think that today that, you know, it's in John 15 that our desire is to be fruitful. It is God's desire for us to be fruitful. So I think this is very, very, very key. That's a very powerful subject right now. It's a subject that I've been taking a deeper look at. It's a subject that I felt like I have looked at for years, and I feel like God is revisiting that portion of revelation in me of just becoming more fruitful than we've ever been.
Amen.
So I'm excited about that, David.
Amen. Well, there's three key points that I want to bring out to you, just to get your thoughts on it. But I was studying it, and I came across three things I think that's important for leadership, and that's knowing how to discern and evaluate without biasness. Also, leaders add value by serving others, and people do what they see. People do how a leader reacts to his instruction from above, from your level to their level, and how they react and how they respond to it. People see all that. If they get frustrated, people's going to see how they get a little disappointed they're asked to do something that they may not want to do. Now, what's your take on all those three? And I can repeat them if you need me to.
Sure. I think that, you know, I want to refer to the one that people do what they see. And I think that speaks of the role of being the model example. I always teach our leadership team that, hey, know this, things are better caught than taught. You know, things are going to be picked up by the leaders that they are influencing, that they live, just by how they act, just by how they speak. I mean, there's a number of things that today, as we look at that some things are always, you know, better caught than taught. I know that, you know, when I learned to grow in prayer was that I got around key prayer leaders, around key men and women of God who loved to pray. They inspired me. You know, I always say that, you know, some of the leaders that did mentor me growing up in different elements of leadership or prayer and fasting is that they had intended to ask, they desired to inspire before they expired. So I think the critical points that we take note of today that, yes, we're all going to learn by what we see. So no matter what we do, whether in small, whether in big, there are people always looking at us, even by the way we speak, dress, how we carry ourselves in the congregations. I think it's very critical that we also understand that, hey, God has put his calling on us and people are watching us. Now, what were the other points you talked about, David?
Okay, the other one was people add value by serving others.
Yes. I think this is another key point. I'm talking about a variation of different aspects of leadership, which I think is wonderful. You know, servanthood is key. You know, this is something that for 90% of the summer, every Sunday, I was teaching on a subject called servolution. Every Sunday, Jesus Christ said, he said, I came to serve, not to be served. And I think that when we begin to take on those postures of even the book of John, we see this, and I believe it's in chapter 12 or 13, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. It speaks of there that he took his towel off and disrobed himself and got down on his knees and began to wash the feet of the disciples. And I think it's a beautiful picture today of what the church should be doing. You know, I always tell our church this, hey, the harvest is not coming. It's not in the church. We have to go out and get them. You know, there's no doubt that today we have to be willing to serve those who cannot help themselves. We must learn to serve those that today in our communities that, you know, I teach our leaders, we've got to learn to serve our communities without no strings attached. We've got to be able to help people when called upon. And even then, we should initiate those acts of kindness as much as possible throughout our day. Because the Bible says, when you give, you will receive. You know, there's no doubt about it. So that's really, you know, my prayer today is that we are seeing a movement of not just leaders, but servant leaders, men and women that are serving and giving their whole heart to the work of God. Our labor is never, never, ever in vain. So that's an exciting point to look at. What was that last point you spoke about there, David?
Let's see, knowing how to discern and evaluate without biasness?
Yes. You know, I always say before you look at something, you know, from your point of view, let's look at things through God's point of view. And I think that's important that leaders, we learn to govern our ministries, we learn to govern our lives, our families, the ministry through the Word of God, that we learn to be able to, not lay, a carnal judgment on something. But it is very, very key that we are, we're not being led by the flesh. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and that we learn to lead by these examples. So I think it's very, very key that we don't lead out of what we think, but I think we should learn to lead out of what the Scripture teaches how we should be leading. And I see that a lot. I see so many different leadership teachings that are arising today, not just in the business world, but also in the church, that are man-made. You know, I always say that if it's in the Bible, it works. But if it's not in the Bible, then it probably won't work. Jesus Christ is our key leader today. And as we look at that, I'm really excited we can all learn from his example. So these are great things to look at today, David.
Amen. Now, another thing is, leadership it takes time. The process takes time to become a leader. I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight. I mean, it develops daily. I tweeted something the other day. It says, nothing is too small. Nothing is too small when you're working on your vision. I mean, everything is never – just because it's small doesn't mean it's a small task for your vision.
That's right. That's right. I think that today leaders are not born. They are made. And I think that's something that we have to get back to, is that you don't become a leader overnight. There are the tests and trials and tribulations. There are some things we're going to walk through that God is going to use to shape our character, our integrity, to test us, to just see what is really in our heart. Just like in Genesis 22, when God asked Abraham for his son that he waited for his entire life. The thing I love about that story is that we see that when God told Abraham, give me your son, sacrifice him, it says that Abraham did not even hesitate. He started packing up right away, and he started just really beginning to do what God had called him to do, what he had wanted him to do. So I think those are exciting things to begin to take note of, that, hey, we don't become a leader overnight. I think about Joshua. He was in slavery in Egypt. He was 40 years in the wilderness. Some of us, we want a title the moment we show up in church the same week we visit it. I think that today, I believe that where leaders are going to be found at today, they're going to go look at those that are serving in the churches. Those are who your leaders are. When you find those that are doing the stuff without having to have a title, without having to be told what to do, they're initiators, they're self-motivators, they're not just introverted, they're extroverted, they're ready to do what they know needs to happen. They see a need, they fill the gap without question. And I think when you look at those, I think those are very, very, very key to understand, that just because we've been in a church for 6 months or a year, or just because we've been serving in a business for 6 months or a year, does not mean that we are up for the challenge. Hey, there are some things that today, I always say, your leadership curve will never, ever stop growing. Like I said, the last two programs, I've been in the ministry nearly 20 years now, full-time, and my leadership curve continues to grow. It continues to expand. I continue to have those wow moments where I'm like, man, I'm still learning some incredible things. I mean, even if you were to look at my book library, I have thousands of leadership books that I read that I've read over the last 20 years. My entire attic is filled with crates upon crates and totes upon totes of books on leadership and leadership development. And, one of the things that I determined is two things. One is to be a student of leadership, but also to create an environment of leadership development around me. And even for those that are around me, one of the questions I ask our leaders often is when I see them, well, what books are you reading right now? What are you doing to grow? What are you doing to keep your sword sharp? And I think that today, you cannot be lazy and expect to be a leader. I think that we should all take a good, hard look at, how are we growing as a leader? What is the pathway to leadership, there's never really a graduation time, or there's never really a moment where someone just says, oh, you've served, 12 years as a leader, such as going to you know, from kindergarten to high school. It's not like that. When God whispers your name, everybody's going to know you're a leader. You know, I think that one. I heard a great leader say this one time. He said, one way you know you're a leader is when you don't have to say anything about it, everybody around you saying that's the leader. And that man or that woman is moving in leadership. But if you find yourself having to promote yourself, you make business cards already with your name on it, and I mean, you do all these, you know, these websites, and yet you have no following, you know. So I think that's key today, is that this is one of the ways I can always tell great leaders, as John Maxwell says. He says, you know, he goes, a leader should have followers, because if he doesn't, then that person is just taking a walk by himself. So I think that as we look at that, you know, our prayer is that, you know, we can take a good look around and say, are there people actually following me? And if not, then I need to take a deeper look. Am I really a leader, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I always talk about leadership, is having that influence, having that favor, having that energy, having those people skills, the ability to raise up, train up, recruit, develop. You know, I think these are all key elements of true, what I would consider, senior leaders, is that they're not, you know, they're not just sitting around, you know, not doing anything. I think about David in the scriptures. The Bible speaks of there that's how he fell into adultery with Bathsheba. It says in the springtime, when all the kings and all the armies were going to war, David stayed behind on the rooftop, and that's how Bathsheba caught his eye, when he should have been at war. You know, we see that, you know, hey, as leaders, let's not remain idle. You know, let's not remain complacent. Let's not remain casual at what we are called to do. Hey, if God has called us to do something, hey, let's stretch, let's have faith. You know, let's really push the envelope. You know, let's not be complacent in our vision. You know, let's take an inventory, not just in ourselves personally, but even in the house. You know, as I was speaking about earlier, about becoming more fruitful, really, what is, you know, what are some of the gauges we're using to see, am I moving forward, am I not? So I think that when, you know, we take a good hard look at what leadership is, I think that, you know, we can take a look at our progress. Are we moving forward, you know, or am I going backwards? You know, per se, that, you know, we say, man, 2009 was a year that I didn't see myself, you know, pushing forward in the ministry or my life personally, you know, but I see myself going backwards. Or we may say 2009, six months from now, in the month of December, we might say, hey, this was a powerful year. This year, my life, my family, my church, we all went to another level, you know. And, you know, as I said, what makes a great leader is that person is an initiator. He is self-motivated. You don't always got to put him to do something. You know, these are what I would consider the go-getters, the movers and shakers. You know, it's just like I heard the autobiography of Bill Gates. He was talking about, you know, Bill Gates being the most wealthiest man in the world. You know, he spoke about he didn't take a vacation only up until, like, the first 7 years that he was in Microsoft. You know, he was working every day, you know, probably only 4 to 6 hours a day, like 7 years straight. You know, some of us, if we don't take a break, you know, by 12 o'clock, we're dying. You know, and I think that as we look at these things, you know, we must really take a look. Really, am I self-motivated? Do I have that knack about me to be able to, you know, keep running the race? So, you know, I think these are all simple, practical things for us to begin to adopt into our lives personally and even in the ministry.
Amen. Now, the principle of leadership never changes, correct? I mean, whether in the jungle or in the main street America, leadership's values or principles are the same all the time. And I think that,
yeah.
I think that a lot of us just need to learn how to strengthen ourselves, like you were mentioning earlier, that what are you reading and stuff. What kind of books you think that that you can recommend just off the top of your head that a lot of our readers can get a hold of and that can start changing their thinking?
Last night I was on last night, and I was looking up leadershipgurus.com, which usually is more of a Washington website for that deals with top key leaders today in our nation. And I really appreciate it, the top two leaders they have on top of that list. And you're listening here today on the broadcast. There are two leaders I would recommend. I have their materials. I've read them. They're amazing. They have impacted my life. And on the top position of leadershipgurus.com, in the number one spot, was John C. Maxwell. I remember reading his stuff in the late 80s, and it has just revolutionized my life. As a matter of fact, he put a book out a few months ago, talking. It was entitled The Dream Test, and it's an amazing material, but he has a number of books, any of John Maxwell's materials. And the number two person on that list of the top 25 leaders for the year 2009 on leadershipguru.com was a man by the name of Stephen Covey. And Stephen Covey has, you know, the seven most effective habits of a leader. And so I think that if you just picked up any one of those two materials, your learning curve will go to another level, whether it's in church, business, your family. These are all great, great resources you can use to be able to help you in your leadership curve. So I think there's so many different authors out there. But these are just, you know, just some of the key guys that I read personally. I'm into all different levels of leadership, whether from a more of a church standpoint or more of a business standpoint. I think that if we, I always say that the greatest enemy to the new coming into your life will always be the old. And I think that, you know, you cannot be doing the same things in your life and expecting change tomorrow. You know, I can always say, tell me, I think that one of the secrets to a man's success is by you just showing me what you do in your daily routine. That is where success is found. If all you do is sleep in half a day, you're on checking emails or, you know, never spending time learning, or you're always just kind of bumming around, not doing anything. And I see that with a lot of pastors, really, I do. And I see that with a lot of leaders. They're at lunches with the wrong people at the wrong time, at the wrong places. You know, I think that to become that leader there, yeah, you have to have the resources, but you have to have discipline also to becoming that leader that God has called you to be. So I just really would encourage that. There's some old habits, old ways, old principles that we've based our life on that might need to change, that will enable us to go to another level. I just really highly encourage that to happen. You'll see a big difference. And I think, like I said, any of those authors, if you'll pick up their material, you'll be highly challenged as a leader. There's a book that we took our staff through earlier this year, and it was called Leadership Gold, and it's by John Maxwell. And if you're a pastor, I encourage you to pick up that piece of material and to be able to take at least those key leaders around you through that material. So I would at least once a week get together, read a chapter together. There's so many different practical ways you can go about learning and getting to learn. So, you know, I think these are all great things you can utilize today.
Amen. It's about discipline. It's about making yourself available to learn. I mean, God has put, there's so much, there's no excuse now that we're at in the world that you cannot learn. You can learn online, you can learn on your iPhone, you can learn. There's no excuse. And part of the discipline that discipleship is making yourself, being able to study and take yourself deep. No one's going to make you read the Bible. No one's going to make you pray. No one's going to make you desire more from God and open up books and stuff and try and get revelation through that. So it comes down to how bad a leader do you really want to be? And it comes also back to, you know, how willing are you to submit to the discipline? Because that's what it's going to take. I mean, there's a lot of kids I see that all they want to preach, all they want to go up and do a lot of things, but are they taking the first steps and learning the Word of God?
Right.
It's more than just putting a sermon out. It's more than just preaching something. It's a way of life, and the way of your life comes out through your sermons. It does.
Right.
It comes out that way. Well, Pastor, I want to thank you again. And I know that I mentioned your show I mean, your church last week on Thursday, we're doing outreach and mission Thursday, and I was just talking about how your church does the backpacks and school supply stuff for the kids, and how y'all every Christmas time you have an event as well. I think it's Holiday of Hope. And I just wanted you to touch base on that. And I know we don't have you on tomorrow's show, but if you can just touch base with that and just give us an idea of what y'all do in the neighborhoods, because I'm trying to encourage these listeners who are coming back. We were really strong on listeners this last month, and we're carrying it forward. We're at twice as much as we had last month, and it's at this time, and it's good. So people are coming back for the content, and they're coming back because of you as well, Pastor.
All right. Well, there's a number of things that we're doing right now. One of the projects that we're involved with is the Back to School Project. We work with a lot of inner city students and children in our area here in Houston, Texas. And one of the things that we do, like we were talking about earlier, is that we're just not a church in our community that just shows up and has church. We're also there to serve our community. And what I've done is I begin to analyze the needs in our community, and we've begun to try and meet as many of those needs as possible. So we have a series of what I would consider high-impact compassion projects, humanitarian efforts, evangelism, outreaches, whatever you would call them. And they're not just geared to preaching the gospel. We're there to bless, and we're there to give out. I think a lot of times we call people to our evangelistic events, and, you know, we don't really have anything to offer. And I'm not saying the gospel isn't anything to offer, but let's face the facts. You know, we see in John chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 people that were around him, you know, and we see that, that is our calling, that is our mandate. And the Back to School Project, which is the project we're involved right now, is that we're giving out free school supplies to 500 to 600 students in our area, in our neighborhood there. Every year, this keeps growing. Honestly, David, we're right now, we are being stretched for resources. You can reach me if you have resources at Freedom, FreedomIntl, @AOL.com. That is my personal email. And if you have resources that we could use there at Freedom International Church, our outreach is going to be happening at the end of August. And, you know, another way they can make contact with me is through Twitter at Mike Salazar, and you can reach me through there. Or you can reach me at our church. Our church services are on Sundays at 10, Thursdays at 7 o'clock, and those are found at 1314 West Patton Street, 1314 West Patton. And again, the email for our church is freedomintl1@AOL.com. And I tell you, every year we do this by faith. We always have just enough resources to be able to pass out there into the inner city there. And I know there are a number of organizations doing this. It's kind of caught fire, but we've been doing this for years, probably the last 10 years. And so we're really excited to, just be a part of that. That's just one of the projects we do. David, you know, we do other projects such as the Holiday of Hope during the Christmas holidays, where literally anywhere's upwards, I think we had about 1,500, 1,600 families come through our church. And I'm not just talking about just families, but needy families that did not have any gifts, any toys, new gifts to give their children. And the Lord blessed us with some resources and some relationships that were able to provide those resources for us. Our church is a wonderful church. I always like to say, you know, on Sundays, whether you know it or not, the church you're in right now is a giving church, and we love to give into the community without no strings attached. Whether they come to our church or not, it doesn't matter. But they will say that there is a God, and I tell you, it's always a joy when you see those masses of people coming out, and they get an opportunity not just to hear the gospel, but to be blessed with new school supplies or new toys. Those are just two of the 6 to 7 high-impact outreaches that draw thousands of people out every year. And the Lord has really blessed us. I think it's in our DNA. It's in my wife and I. My wife, we love to give into the community. We love to give back to the inner city. And the Lord's blessed us with some great people in our church that have that same heartbeat. So amen. These are just some ways that you can reach me at, David. So, I mean, we're really, really, really pumped about that.
Well, I know that it's working. I mean, what you're doing is working. I know that a lot of different, you can go on the line, you can see how churches are starting to get involved like this, but these guys have been doing this for a while. There was an article of a church in Seattle that they had 300 churches together, and then they painted a high school for some underprivileged kids and stuff, and it was an amazing just story. And you're seeing that Pastor Mike right now is doing the same thing, and with the limited resources as well. I mean, God is bringing it. When he does it, he is being blessed by God to make this event happen. And I know that, Pastor, we're definitely going to have to get you on the webpage, and we've got to get your all set up with all that way they can donate to you and everything as well. We'll have to talk to you afterwards, and we'll figure a way to start working on that for you. That
sure,
we'll get some of these listeners that are listening to the show may want to support you and stuff. But I know that any time that you step out, you never know who you're going to touch, because we just got a letter to our church, and 10 years ago, the church, before I got there, where they did this walk through the neighborhood, and they put those little like door hangers, and with the they put this little track, but it's more like a how to come to church and how to read the Bible type of book track. And 10 years later, this man sent us just a note saying, "Hey, I want you to know that I used to live near your church. I'm in South Africa now, and I hit the hardest times before I came here, and I came to God because I still have that book that you gave me." And he goes, "I've never been to your church, never been to your church." He goes, "But because of you, I came to Jesus." So you don't know how many kids you think are going to pick up a backpack, pick up a toy or a gift, and they're going to come to Jesus 10 years from now. Hey, that is investment. That is what you're doing. You're investing. What we talked about, serving others. We also talked about people do what people see. That child's going to remember someone down the road gave them something and is going to return the love and know that it was from God, and that it was a gift just like Jesus. It wasn't anything else but a gift to us. To give us life and to give us hope, and that's what's preached at it, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Well, Pastor Mike, go and give them your contact information one more time, because I really want them to get a hold of you.
Sure. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Salazar. You can just direct message me, or you can reach me by email at FREEDOMINTL @AOL.com. And that number one is the actual number one. And you can reach me, like I said, on Twitter. And or you can reach me in our services. You know, our church address is 1314 West Patton. That's PATTON. Here at Houston, Texas, 77009. And I tell you, I believe that these last 4 weeks have been a great experience, and I know that there are people globally that are listening to this broadcast today. And I just want to encourage you with these last words, just to continue to run the race, never give up, never quit. God is for you, and he's not against you today. But David, it's really been a real honor just to be able to spend some time with you, and I'm looking forward to hearing just some great testimonies out of this podcast today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming in. God bless you.
Talk to you later. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. That was Pastor Mike Salazar, Freedom International Church, visiting our show, trying to impart in you the vision of leadership, and imparting you what you need to hear about leadership and what God is doing in you, my friends, in you. God is awesome. God is awesome. That was a great phone call, wasn't it? That was a great phone call. We had someone that totally understood the leadership program and leadership, what's going on, and he shared with you some strong knowledge. That's awesome. You need to get a hold of Pastor Mike. If you want to get a hold of him, he gave you his information. And if you want to get a hold of him, help him with his project. He is doing a great work in the downtown parts of Houston. It's a place located, basically the geographic parts of it is where there's predominantly lower income, and where it meets to mid-level to higher income really quick in the neighborhoods. And it's kind of like a seesaw. Some parts are lower income, some parts are higher income. And there's people there that need stuff. And I know that his church is moving, touching, and they can only do so much. So we need to help them. Amen? We need to be able to help them and everything. My friends, I appreciate you all tuning in and listening. Our address is Revelation Ministries, RevMedia.com, RevMinistries.com, RevMediaNetwork.com, DavidDeannisMinistries.com. And you can also email me. Now, you can email me if you want more information of our ministry or you just want to talk, the Rev at DavidDeannisMinistries.com. I'm getting my own self confused with all those emails I got. Or David@RevMediaNetwork.com. David@RevMediaNetwork.com is the one I usually use. But I do check the other ones as well. I know that a lot of us out here that are building these sites and seeing you, I just appreciate you. I appreciate you tuning in. I pray that God touches you with the Word of God every time that you come on, that you feel good, that good things are going to happen to you, and God is going to bless you. God is going to move mightily in your life. I'm going to pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the listeners right now. We pray that you will touch them, that you will minister to them, that you will be able to make them, Father, what they need to be in their life, Lord. I pray, God, that they do not give up. Just as Pastor Mike prayed and talked to us and said, do not quit, do not quit. Run the race. I pray right now, Father, those that are feeling discouraged, that you just touch them, that you give them encouragement, that you make good things happen for them. I pray right now, God, that you will bless them financially, physically, and mentally, Father. Give them the mental toughness that they need to get through this, Father, that they believe on the Word of God. How do you get that mental toughness? Believing on God. How do you believe on God? But the Word of God. Through what? Faith. Through faith, my friends. Through faith is how you're going to be able to understand it. Through faith is how you're going to be able to listen. Amen. We love you, my friends. We love you, my friends. Well, friends, I think it's time to head out. Let me give you our address. Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Give me a holler. That's our time to go, my friends. All right. God bless you. I appreciate you. Talk to you later on the Midwatch. See you tomorrow. We're talking about outreach and missions tomorrow. Tune in, please. God bless. Thank you.